I'm trying to decide if I want to preach this sermon to you or if I want to see if anybody's got anything they want to ask or any questions they got or anything. I'm kind of up in the air a little bit here this morning. I don't really exactly know what I want to do. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have anything they'd want to ask or any questions they got? I know we've talked about a lot of things over the last few weeks, you know. And, you know, I know we've shared kind of a deeper word, you know, and I don't know if anybody's got any questions about anything that's been said or anything like that, but if you do, I'm opening it up for a few minutes to see if anybody does, and I'll be glad to try to talk with you or explain it or whatever. And don't feel like it would be embarrassing to say, well, gee, Oscar, I didn't understand what you said about this or said about that, because I try not to say anything unless I can explain it to you, and I sure would try to explain it to you. So I'll pause for a minute, and you think for a second if you've got something you want to say or even something you want to say to add to things that's been said in the last few weeks, you know. Feel free to do that. Okay, everybody understood. Praise the Lord. That's good. Well, the title to the sermon today is this: From Milk to Meat. Okay? And I'm going to start off reading in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 through 20. It says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept upon precept." And I like that it says it three times. Precept upon precept upon precept. And I believe God wants to deal with us on all three levels of our understanding. He wants to deal with us on the level of our fleshly understanding, our soulish understanding, and most of all, on our spiritual understanding. And I believe that when he begins to deal with us on those three areas there, that what will happen is that we'll start growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and we'll start increasing in knowledge, we'll start increasing in understanding. You know, a lot of people think that when Solomon prayed his prayer after he became king, they believe that he prayed and asked for knowledge. And he really didn't ask for knowledge. He asked for understanding. And he said, "Lord, I pray that you'd give me understanding that I might go in and out amongst such a great people." And you know, understanding is, I've worked in machine shops and I've taught people how to run machinery, and sometimes it's been complicated machinery at times over the years, you know, back when I was still working. And if you understand why you do something, then you'll make sure that you do it. You know, if you don't understand why you do it, if I hand you a set of keys to a car, and I say, and you've never driven a car or anything, and I say, "Here, go drive the car," you're not going to know what to do if you've never driven in a car before, or you've never even been in a car before. You're going to look at me like, "Well, what am I supposed to do with these things?" But if you know that key will unlock the door on the car, if you stick it in the ignition, it will start the engine, if you put your foot on the brake and put it in gear, and then step on the gas pedal, it's going to go. So understanding what is going on is very, very important. And God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, and not for riches and not for other things like that," basically, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, "I'm going to make your kingdom be great. And I'm going to give you all of those other things too that you didn't ask for." So a lot of times when we pray, we need to make sure that we ask for the right things. if we're going to ask for something, you know. And when you ask for understanding, God likes that because that's what he wants you to do, to understand. You know, in Hebrews, let me turn so I can read it to you. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I didn't plan on reading this or I'd have it on my paper here. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's look at it a minute here. It says, therefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye also be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh to you on this wise. Children, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. And if ye endure without chastising, God dealeth with you as sons. For son is whom the Father chastens not. But if you without chastisement, therefore all of you are partakers, then you are, and it uses the word bastards, you're illegitimate. And you know, when things come into our life and it seems like that it's things we don't understand, and it seems to even be chastisement at times, you know, God knows what he's doing. And if we will continue to trust him and continue to move and flow with his spirit, then we'll find out that even the chastisement that God sends into our life at times is because he loves us, and it's not because he's punishing us or anything else. You know, chapter 11 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by which the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which appear. And you, and you know, what we see with our natural five senses is not always the reality of what God is able to do. And, you know, I like that where it says, now faith is the substance. And the word for substance there is hypostasis, and it means to sit underneath or to understand, stand underneath, understand. You got to realize in Hebrew, in the Jews, they read from right to left. We read from left to right. So if it says understand, it means to stand underneath. And if it says stand underneath, then it means to understand. And God always wants us to understand. Faith, believing in the truthfulness of God, is standing underneath him and understanding that he is able, he can do anything, and if we'll just trust him, everything will work out according to his will. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, testifying of his gift by he being dead, yet speaketh. You know, you got to realize with Cain and Abel, what Cain did, Cain offered fruit of the ground, fruit of his own labor. He made a garden. He brought the fruit of the garden and brought it and presented it to the Lord. Abel offered a life. And God always wants a life. He wants your life. He doesn't want your works as much as he wants your life. He wants what you that you're willing to submit your life to him, and the works in your life will follow whatever he's called you to do. But I want you to understand that it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand? Back to Isaiah. Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept upon precept. Line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little. And it says, to whom, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And I feel like a lot of times I have that stammering lips, you know. So I get up here sometimes, I can't remember what a word I'm trying to remember or whatever. You know, but you guys help me when that happens, you know. It says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherein you shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear. And you know, when I read that, I was thinking about, you know, when I was a kid, sometimes my mother would tell me to do something. And when I really didn't want to do it, you know, I would act like I didn't hear her. And you know what her reply would usually be? Did you hear me? I'd say, well, no. She'd tell me again. I'd say, oh, okay. But I want you to know that when God speaks to us, we need to ask him to give us ears to hear what he's saying. And not only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of that word. You know, when it says to whom he said, this is the rest. And that word for rest there has the meaning of the word repose. And repose has a meaning of laying in a recumbent position. In other words, laying down and relaxing. And really just relaxing. But it also has the meaning of matrimony. So when he's saying, if you listen to his word and you really hear his word, his line upon line, his precept by precept, if you listen and truly take it to heart what he says, then not only will you be in a place of repose, but you'll also be entering into the matrimony of God. You'll begin to start experiencing the wedding feast of God. And it goes on and it says, this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear. And he's talking to the Jewish people back here, but sometimes that's even us. And the other word for rest there's another word. It has a different meaning. It means to settle down, and it means to sit down. You know, a lot of times when a little kid's acting up, what do you tell them to do? Get over there and sit down. And you know, sometimes we have to just sit down and quit doing whatever we're doing and say, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you kind of teach me in this situation? What do you want me to learn? You know. And it goes on and says, but the word of the Lord unto them was precept upon precept upon precept upon precept. Line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And that's because they did not want to hear what God told them. How many times have you prayed and asked God for something or asked him about something, And then when the answer came, you really didn't like it. And maybe you didn't like it and you kept thinking, well, you know, Lord, I don't really like that too much. You know, there's a joke, and I don't know if I can remember it all, but it sort of went like this. This man fell over this cliff, and he was hanging onto this limb. And he was just barely hanging onto this limb, and if he fell, he was going to fall to his death. And while he's hanging on that limb, he starts praying. And he says, Lord, please save me. And someone comes along, and they said, hey, you down there, you okay? Well, I'm hanging on. And they said, well, here, it's a rope. They said, well, I'm waiting on God. And then somebody comes by in a helicopter. And when they come by in the helicopter, they kind of come over by the edge of the cliff, and they see him hanging there, and they say, hey, you need some help? We'll help you. Well, I'm waiting on God. And eventually he falls to his death. And what's God say to him? He said, well, I sent you a man with a rope, and I sent you a man with a helicopter, and you didn't listen. And you know, that's the way we are sometimes. We want it to be our way, exactly the way we want it to be. And it don't happen the way we want it to be. It happens the way God wants it to be. And the sooner we come to realize that, the better off we'll be. Because a lot of times, if not, then the word of the Lord unto them is precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go backward and fall and be broken and snared. And therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. And you know, when we know what the cornerstone is, we know what the foundation stone is. There's no other foundation than Jesus Christ. And anything that we build upon, it has to be built upon him, because all other foundations are going to crumble. And all other cornerstones are going to break and fall and cause the building to collapse. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Let me read something.
All right.
Where you're saying, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept.
Uh-huh.
A precept is a fundamental principle, a rule or a commandment given as a guide for action or conduct.
Right.
Often with a moral or religious basis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An instruction or commandment is often a directive given by an authority, and it's like a foundational principle. It helps establish how to act or live.
Amen. That's good. That's a good definition.
Precept's not a word that gets used
a lot
in modern English.
Yeah.
So that's what it's saying. So it's basically saying small foundational truth upon small foundational building up on top of each other.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, like when you're teaching your kid as a little kid,
mm-hmm.
how to act, how to walk, how to do whatever, you know, mm-hmm. it starts with, you know, no, you're not allowed to hit people. No, you're not allowed to fight people. No, you're not allowed to scratch people. You know what I mean? And then,
right.
You know, that's general behavior for your kid as you're having one. And then it keeps growing on top of that until you reach the point of being a functioning human.
Right.
And knows what's expected of them and what's allowable and what's not.
Yeah. And even with that, what is that actually teaching them when you get up to the very top of that? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you know. And literally, that was considered to be the golden rule, so to speak. And and I don't know if any of you all ever did this or not, but sometimes when our little kids were little, if they bit somebody, guess what? We'd bite them back. And we'd tell them, you can't bite people. Well, you know, we wouldn't bite them hard enough to hurt them, just enough to make them cry. Well, sometimes you got to get your point across, you know what I mean. And to be honest with you, just telling somebody that you can't do it doesn't always work, you know. But sometimes you have to experience that, hey, that hurts. Don't do that. It's going to hurt you if somebody bites you. You ain't going to like that. You know, that's a good example, Mark. But you know what? Those precepts and the lines that God gives you, is if you all break them all down to their basic thing, it is love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not gonna bite your own hand. You're not gonna stick yourself with a knife unless you have a mental problem. So you're not gonna go out and stick other people with a knife, you know, or you're not gonna shoot yourself with a gun unless you have a mental problem. And you know, you shouldn't shoot somebody else with a gun, you know. But it all comes down to showing love to other people, the love that you want to receive yourself. And it says, let's go on a little bit. It says, judgment also will I lay at the line, and righteousness to the pummelet. And you know what the pummelet is? You ever seen a thing? They got a thing when you're building something. It's called a plumb bob. Plumb bob. And what it is it's a piece of metal, and it's got a hole in the middle of it, and it goes down like this, and it's kind of heavy, and then it goes down to a point in the middle. And what you do is you tie a string around that. And I don't care what kind of land you're standing on or what kind of situation you're standing on, if you hold that thing up in the air, it points at a straight line right down to the ground. And if you were to take, say, a piece of wood or something, or even a piece of metal and drive it into the ground, that piece of metal would be perfectly in line, straight up and down. And you know, when God talks about, you know, the pummelet, he's talking about us coming to a place where we're grounded in him. We're straight as the gate and narrow as the way that leads to life, you know. And he's talking about, you know, we need to have that situation, you know. And it goes on and it says, judgment will I lay to the line and righteousness to the pummelet. And hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. You know, there's a lot of lies out there today. A lot of lies politically, a lot of lies spiritually, a lot of lies. People tell a lot of lies, you know, and it almost seems like people encourage people to lie today. You know what I'm saying? And but I like what he says here. He says, and a hail will sweep away the lies. Well, you know what hail is? You know what hail's made of? Water. But what kind of water? Hard water. And you know, when it starts to rain, if it starts to hail and you got a bunch of real pretty flowers out there, or you got some kind of stuff that you planted and it's in your nice little container there, you know what you better do? You better get it out there and move it, or you better go out there and cover it over with something, because that hail will beat it to death. And I'm going to tell you what, the word of God, sometimes when it's a hard word, it's come to make a difference in your life. It's come to beat away the lies, the miscommunications, and all of the things that people try to tell you. And it says, the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You know, we've all got hiding places in our life. And, you know, we used to sing a song, You Are My Hiding Place. In the comfort of your presence, I can't remember the exact words, but in the comfort of your presence, I find grace, or something like that. You are my hiding place. And the only hiding place that you need to know about is Jesus Christ. Because the other hiding places that you have in your life, he knows all about them. You might think God don't know everything you do or everything you've done in the past or whatever. He knows it all. But yet he loves you in spite of everything. You know, and it goes on and it says, and a covenant with death, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Do you know that when Jesus hung on the cross, he disannulled the covenant of death? Because why? He was the way, the truth, and the life. And when he rose again, he took captivity captive, and he did away with natural death. I mean, real death. And that word for disannulled, the covenant with death shall be disannulled, is the word atonement. And it's also the word reconciliation. It means reconciliation. We know that God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. And if he's not imputing your trespasses to you, who's imputing the trespasses to you? Well, it's not him, because he paid the price for all your sins. And he took them upon himself up on Calvary. You know, and you know, a lot of people will hold on to their sins or their mistakes or whatever you want to call it, and they will hold on to them and keep in a place of condemnation. Well, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he wants you to be in line with Christ Jesus, you know. To be born again. It says, and the covenant of death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall it be trodden down. From time that goeth forth, it shall take away the morning by morning, and it shall pass over by day and by night, and shall be vexation only to understand the report. But I love this, but the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, you know. And I want you to know that a lot of times we have a tendency that we've got a certain thing that we want to lay down in, and a certain doctrine or certain religious thing that we want to lay down in, and boy, we're trying to get real comfortable there. But as you grow in the Lord, that bed gets too short after a while. And he wants you to start growing in him and to rest in him. And, you know, we have to come to the place where we trust him in all things and believe in him all things and flow with him in all things. And when we do that, then we can enter into that real rest, that real reposing down, that real matrimony with Jesus Christ. And when you marry him, you begin to get his name. And when you get the name, you also get everything that goes along with that name, you know. And, you know, when me and Margaret got married, she took my last name. And when she took my last name, she also had access to any bank accounts I had, any life insurance I had, any property that I owned. I had a car, an old car, I think, at the time we got married. Well, not too old, but it was kind of old. But anyway, she inherited all of those things too. And we inherited everything. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But a lot of times we walk less than what our true ability in him and what we truly possess in him, because we don't recognize it. Well, anyway, that's about all I had to share with you today. And if I kind of fumbled around up here today, I wasn't really exactly sure what the Lord wanted me to share with you today. But I want you to know that all of the things that are happening out there in the world today, there's a lot of things that seem to be nuts, and you know, it's a lot of crazy stuff's going on, but God knows exactly what's going on, and he's in control of all that's going on out there in the world. He doesn't cause it to happen, but he's in control of the results of what will happen after it happens. So that's all I had to share with you today. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise and glory and honor. I ask you to have your way. And I just ask you to just bless your people as they go forth. Help them to know, Father, that they don't have to make a covenant with death, that you've disannulled that covenant, and that, Father, they can walk in newness of life, and they can believe that if they step out of this life, they step through the veil right into your presence, and in your presence there's fullness of joy. And I just ask you to just help us all to just trust you and look to you in all things. And as we do that, then there's nothing can touch us unless you allow it to touch our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.